Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Folks, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it, and today we're going to talk about violence, self-defense, and the Christian. Can we answer violence with violence and still be acceptable in the eyes of God? I think you'll be surprised at what the Bible actually teaches on the subject. I don't think you'll be surprised that there are absolutely some regulations that govern and even prohibit when Christians can use violence. So, let's get into the podcast. Before I do, I'm going to put the QR code up on the screen. You can support us at www.patreon.com/Christianity Now. That's a recurring monthly donation. Or you can scan the QR code and go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now, and you can give a one-time donation of $5 a month. Both of those get you access to our member exclusive content. And if you're a member, if you've ever supported us, if you're part of the Buy Me a Coffee group or the Patreon group, we want to hear from you. What would you like to see from Aaron Dotson and myself as far as member exclusive content? We would love to do live stream Q&As. We would love to have guests where you could have a video exclusively for you all, where we interview a guest. Just let us know, and we would love to cater this, because we're here to serve you, and we're here to serve our entire audience, but we want to take special care of those people who support us financially. Now, be the algorithm for us. If you can be the algorithm for us, you will allow us to get far and wide, which that will help us get more supporters, and that will help us up our production quality. It will help us add more speakers, add more presenters, all of that good stuff. All right, we're done with that. What prompted this video with this podcast today is the controversy around this song by Jason Aldean, "Try That in a Small Town." Listen, I'm a fan of country music. I haven't listened to contemporary country music in a couple of decades. I'm so far out of the loop. I listen to a lot of old stuff. Well, I say I don't listen a lot, but when I listen to old stuff. Incidentally, hello, Bridget Lee. Hello, Facebook user there in the We Talk Truth group. So glad to see y'all here. Let's look at these lyrics, and let's see if there's anything that could be considered racist, or anything that would be a call to action for lynching, okay? Here's the lyrics for "Try That in a Small Town" by Jason Aldean. "Sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk. Carjack an old lady at a red light. Pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think that's cool? Well, act like a fool, or act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop. Spit in his face. Stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. Well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't. Try that in a small town." Or, "I recommend you don't." Sorry, this is written like it's a poem, and the meter is all off. Anyway, so "Try That in a Small Town." So forgive me, I'm messing up the meter, I know, but it's the way it's written here in Google. All right. "I got a gun my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up. Well, that stuff might fly in the city. Good luck. Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town. Full of good old boys, raised up right. If you're looking for a fight, try that in a small town. Try that in a small town. Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town. Try that in a small town, ooh, ooh. I mean, it even says it right here, ooh, ooh. Come on, man. Anyway, try that in a small town. So, you get the gist. Where's the racism? Where's the lynch language in that? Listen, I'm going to be very political here for a moment. In Western culture, there are two factions at war with one another. There is the conservative right and the liberal left. And the liberal left says that the conservative right is fascist and racist and homophobic and xenophobic and all of that good stuff, white supremacist. Folks, understand that the liberal left, if you are in the United States of America and you want to vote for racist, sexist, bigoted, homophobes, vote for Democrats. I mean, I'm done. I'm done pulling my punches over this. If you tell me during this presidential election that you're going to vote for Joe Biden, I'm going to treat you as if you have a severe mental deficiency because you have to have put your head in the sand like the stupid ostrich. Everything that the right is accused of, the left is. Understand that. And again, I am done. Here's the thing. This song, Try That in a Small Town, is an answer to these Black Lives Matter riots that happened in the wake of the George Floyd debacle, okay? All across the United States of America, cities were burned and people were so much in fear. And I can't understand how anybody that looks at this doesn't see the foolishness of it. During COVID-19, whenever we were dealing with this pandemic and people were wondering, who can you trust? What can you believe? It came out that if you wanted to go protest and burn down cities and smash businesses and loot and riot, you could do that. If you wanted to come into the country illegally, you could do that. You didn't have to have COVID-19 papers. You didn't have to have vaccines. COVID would spread and kill you if you went to church or if you went to the grocery store. But if you went to the liquor store, if you went to the whorehouse, and I'm not being hyperbolic. Seriously, in Toronto, in Ontario, Canada, you could look and see where you could go and where you could gather and where you could take your mask off and stuff like that. And you could go to whorehouses, but you couldn't go to church. All right. And nobody in Toronto, even the congregation there, nobody was willing to rebel against that foolishness. All right. That's right. It turns out they were targeting middle class and small businesses instead of having to look into anything critically, think and reason. Society just name calls. Oh, and you're a conspiracy theorist for looking at the sum of the evidences. Facebook user Chelsea Robinson here, watching on my lunch break. Always happy to catch you live. Awesome, thank you very much. And David Stambursky says, right on. So my point is this: all of the stuff. Hey Tony, happy Friday. Hello to you, Facebook user. And Facebook user says, tell them again. So all of the stuff that we're dealing with that's actually fascist is coming from the Democrats in the United States, and it's coming from the liberals in Canada. So I'm tired of pulling punches. So think about the hyper-bigoted, hyper-racist view that singing a song that talks about how in a small town, we stick together, we have values, and we're going to defend ourselves and our property. If you come and try to destroy it, is racist and is a call for lynching. What that means is the people who are leveling that accusation at Jason Aldean thinks and is admitting that it's only black people that are going to do this. Now, a lot of my listeners are from the continent of Africa, all right? Tanzania, Kenya, Cameroon, Ghana. Ghana or Guyana? Doggone it. One's in South America and one's in Africa. Google that, all right? Fact check me. Nigeria, Cameroon, Kenya, Tanzania, Djibouti, lot of places in Africa, okay? A lot of places on the continent of Africa. When I say black people, I'm not talking about immigrants, first-generation immigrants that have come to the West from the continent of Africa. Let me tell you what I found. The immigrants that come to the West that look at what we call African Americans, they ridicule them. They scoff at them. They're like, you make us look bad. It's no wonder that you're having issues because you're lazy and you have an oppressive mentality. You have a victim mentality. You're in a land that we have sacrificed so much to get to, and you were born here, and you don't have sense enough to see how wonderful it is, and all you're trying to do is tear it down. That's the issue. And the Democrats and the liberal left, and the Democrats of the United States and the liberal left in Canada are weaponizing this victim mentality in order to try to destroy Judeo-Christian values in Western culture. Why they want to do that, I don't know. I don't care. All right? I do not care, but that's what they want to do. And when I say that the liberal left in Canada and the Democrats in the United States, the liberal left in the United States, which are the Democrats, whenever they see a song like this from Jason Aldean, and they say, well, you're just a white supremacist and you're racist and you're calling for violence against African Americans, they're proving themselves to be racist. Because they are admitting, they are affirming, and they don't realize they're affirming, that they think that black people in the United States and Canada, or black people in the United States will say, don't do anything but riot and loot and steal and are of low moral character and of low intelligence. Did you know that the Democrats in the United States think black people are so absolutely stupid that they can't get a voter ID? That they can't get a driver's license, that they can't go to the library and learn the internet and use the internet. I'm tired of this and I'm no longer pulling any punches. You know, I'm white and I'm not going to apologize for it. But let me tell you something. Sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think that's cool? Well, act like a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. You think you're tough? Well, try it in a small town. Listen, where I'm from back home, if you tried that, all right, if a group of people came in with looking like Black Lives Matter looked, okay, but we'll just say if Black Lives Matter come in, let me tell you how we would meet Black Lives Matter. Well, first off, as long as they didn't get violent, we would let them do whatever they wanted to. But the minute they turn violent, red, yellow, black, and white, everybody who is in a part of that community where I grew up would band together and we would neutralize that threat. Does that make us racist? According to the Democrats, it does. It surely does. Think about the Kyle Rittenhouse story. Has anybody in the mainstream media come out and apologized for saying that Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha was killed for black people, or killed black people rather? He never did. He didn't shoot one black person. He was at a Black Lives Matter riot, and the only people that he harmed were white pedophiles. That's kind of interesting. So my point is, what's wrong with the song? It bothers me greatly. Now, I'm done talking about that, all right? and you may want to turn me off. You may want to unfollow me. I don't, honestly, my new motto in life is go kick rocks. Your boos mean nothing because I've seen what makes you cheer. All right. Keep voting for Democrats if you want to. If you vote for Democrats, then you're racist, bigot, sexist, homophobe, and you're a baby murdering pedophile. I'm being hyperbolic in some way. You're putting your stamp of approval on all that. That's all there is to it. I'm tired of pulling my punches on this. Now, let's get into what the Bible says about the Christian and self-defense. Can Christians defend themselves with violence? That's right. They are perfectly okay with the vile lyrics of other songs. Yes, there was I can't read it, y'all. I cannot read it streaming on Facebook and YouTube because Facebook and YouTube's, what's it called? Not their censorship, but their policies say that the lyrics of some of these rap songs are too vulgar to read. So if I said the lyrics to these rap songs and the lyrics to some other, you know, not necessarily rap songs, but others, but the meme that I saw had Jason Aldean's song and had a song by Ice-T or Ice Cube or whoever it was talking about a cop killer, better you than me, and meaning he's going to kill a cop and he's extolling the virtues of killing cops. And then a song by Eminem that talks about rape and violence and drugging a girl and molesting her. I mean, come on. So, all right, let's talk. Can a Christian answer violence with violence? Well, listen, Revelation, well, first off, let's start with the prohibition first. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, all right? Romans chapter 12, listen to it. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. Give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All right. If somebody, and God forbid this happens to you, but if while you're at work, and I'm a man, so I'm teaching from a man's perspective, if while you're at work, somebody comes in and murders your wife and children, and you come home to that bloody mess, and you call 911, and you turns out on your closed circuit, on your Ring doorbell or whatever, you recognize the perpetrator. And so you go and you know who it is and you go find him and you kick him in the back of the knee and you thumb cock him and shoot him in the head. Folks, you're guilty of first degree murder and you will spend hopefully, sadly, and I understand that seems contrary, but hopefully and sadly, you will spend probably the rest of your life in jail and you will be condemned to an eternity in hell if you do not repent of that sin, because that's vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Here's the way that should work out. You should hand your footage over to the police. The police, you tell the police the identity of the perpetrator. They get that person. They bring them to justice. That person is tried. That person spends the rest of their life in jail. And on the stand, at the sentencing rather, whenever the judge says, before I sentence you, do you have anything to say? And if that person turns to where you and your family and loved ones are with tears running down his face and says, I regret everything I've done and I'm so sorry and I have no right, but I want you to forgive me so that you don't have to live with anger and hatred in your heart for the rest of your life, because I know I've taken something from you that cannot be replaced. But I certainly don't want anger and hatred to eat you up and fill the void. As a Christian, you forgive that man. That's the model, folks. That's the model. Now, it ain't easy. You got me? But you see, what I read in Romans chapter 13, the government wields the sword of vengeance. All right? The government wields the sword of vengeance. And it may be that that person gets the death sentence. It may be that that person gets the death sentence. And probably should. Well, no, probably should. He should. Genesis chapter 9, whosoever, oh, come on. What is it? Let me get my trusty, rusty sword out here. Genesis 9:6. That's terrible. I should be able to quote this, but I messed it up. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Folks, let me tell you, that person is deserving of the death penalty, and it is a just thing for God to recompense vengeance for the evil that that man perpetrated against you and your family. And God is very satisfied. Listen, let me give you an insight to God's mind. And we don't think about God this way, but question, I'm going to read something from Deuteronomy that tells us about the nature of God. Does the nature of God change? Well, no. We read in the book of James, there is no variableness of turning. So God's nature doesn't change. Deuteronomy 28, let's go to verse 63 and read this. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you, he's talking to the Israelites. Moses, the mouthpiece of God, is talking to the Israelites. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Folks, God is happy and rejoices when justice is served, when justice is satisfied. That's why he is equally as satisfied at the reward of the righteous and the punishment of the wicked. But God is the judge of all the earth. He will do right. You and I are unable to take vengeance. But what about self-defense? If somebody breaks into my home, if somebody starts shooting people while I'm in a grocery store, and I'm in, what can I do as a Christian? Well, first off, this idea that Christians are supposed to be pacifist, y'all, this is my podcast, and I wouldn't say this the same way if I were preaching a gospel sermon, but I'm going to say it pretty hard here. It's hyper stupid, and it's nothing but cowardice. Do we understand the principle of agency? Remember Saul, the first king? Remember how he was supposed to destroy all the Amalekites? And Samuel came, said, Saul, what's going on? Oh, I'm doing the will of the Lord. Well, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen in my ears? But worse than that, Saul sacrificed unto God, and he had no right to sacrifice unto God. And that act was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, that got the throne ripped from his bloodline. So now Jonathan is not going to follow him on the throne of Jerusalem. Not, I was going to say the throne of David, but it wouldn't have been the throne of David if Jonathan would have succeeded Saul. Anyway, but yet whenever we read in, well, go read 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles. Find the account of Uzzah, where Uzzah touched the Ark of the Covenant, and there was a breach, according to David, against Uzzah. We read in that context that David sacrificed unto the Lord. In fact, in more than one occasion, David sacrificed unto the Lord. But yet David was not derided for it. David was not punished for it. Does this mean that God is a respecter of persons? Well, God forbid. You see, we understand something. We understand agency. David sacrificed to the Lord through the priest. So the priest actually sacrificed. So David sacrificed unto the Lord, although he never touched the sacrifice. He didn't preside over the sacrifice. He had the priest work as agents and sacrificed on his behest. Let's go to John chapter 2 and listen to this. Was it John chapter 2? No, it's not. Where is it at? Maybe it's John 4. It's John 4. I'm a dummy. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now, y'all know that I skipped a verse. I skipped a parenthetical. Did Jesus ever baptize someone? The answer is no. But the Bible says Jesus baptized more disciples than John. Verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. All right? So we understand that Jesus' disciples baptizing in the name of Jesus is Jesus doing the baptizing. So if you say that Christians are supposed to be pacifist, then by God in heaven, Christians are supposed to be pacifist. And if somebody comes to do you harm and you dial 911, then you're going to bust hell wide open because you might, and when the police show up and neutralize that threat with deadly force, you're the one that did it because they're doing it at your behest. You did it through them. That's how agency works. So I don't want to hear anybody talk about, well, Christians are supposed to be pacifist. Okay, that's fine, but you better never let somebody do harm to somebody on your behalf, because then you're guilty of that. In fact, even there's, look at the end of Romans chapter 1. We understand this. 31 and 32, without, well, actually, oh, Paul, you wrote a long sentence. I'm just going to read the last verse. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The pleasure you take in that police officer shooting the man that's trying to kill you is that you get to live another day. So if it is the case that you're supposed to be a pacifist, that all people are supposed to be pacifist, then that police officer shooting someone and you taking pleasure in that by continuing to live another day, you're guilty of that. That's how foolish this doctrine of pacifism is. Now, if you have a scruple, that's fine. Live it up. But don't you dare try to tell me that if somebody breaks into my home, I'm not allowed to neutralize that threat. Let me tell you why. All right? Let me tell you why. Well, first off, get my Bible back here. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Now, I can quote this, but I want to read it. Luke chapter 11. One reason I want to go to it is because I want to break this Bible in. In fact, this is not a new Bible. This is a very cheap Bible. I got this for like $7 off of eBay 10 years ago almost. I thought it was really neat. It's a New Testament Psalms, and somehow or another it got something on it. But this is really, really cheap bonded leather. But I like the text block. Anyway, I need to send it off and get it rebound and something good in the most holy of skins, the goat. Luke chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke 5, Luke 12, Luke 11, verses 21 through 26. Let's read this. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When an unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now listen to me. I'm not going to get into the context of what Jesus is teaching here to the first century Jews that he is trying to get to return, repent, because the kingdom is close at hand. The general principle that makes the teaching work is the universal truth and the right thing that when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. If a strong man, if a man who's over a household didn't have the right to guard his household, that would mean the people in it and the things, with weaponry, then this wouldn't make any sense. So this is a general thing. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. But because it is not axiomatic, it is a maxim. Because sometimes when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are not at peace because someone stronger than him will just bind him and take his stuff. Now, if you can't figure out what Jesus is talking about there, he's not talking about he's not talking about self-defense and such like. He's talking about himself and Satan and all that good stuff. But it doesn't work. That teaching doesn't work unless it's understood. It's a universal truth that a strong man has the right to keep his palace. Okay? Now, let's go to Luke chapter 22. Let's go to Luke 22. We might as well. I was going to talk about the antithetic parallelism in Psalm 37. We may do that still. Psalm 22, 36 through 30. 36 through 38? Luke 22. Let me lick my finger here and turn left. Luke 22, 36. Where am I at? Hold on. Yeah, right here. The words of Jesus are not in red, and I did not realize how much I relied on the words of Jesus being in red to find something very quickly on the page. All right. For I say unto you, then said he unto them. Nope. Let's go to 33. 35. I'll get it in a minute. And he said unto them, so this is Luke 22, 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, we lack nothing. Now, purse and scrip and shoes. Your purse and your scrip is money and a possibles bag. A possibles bag would have stuff that you might possibly need on your journey. When Jesus sent the disciples out, the 70, on the limited commission, they were to take nothing. To the contrary, verse 36, then said he unto them, but now, if you've got a purse, take it. If you've got a scrip, a possibles bag, take it. And if you don't have a sword, you need to sell one of your garments and buy a sword. What? Do you understand? He's not talking about a hunting knife. He's not talking about a Swiss Army knife. He's not talking about a camp knife or a bushcraft knife. He is talking about a weapon for doing harm to an individual. He is talking about the same type of weapon that the military of the day used. He's talking about the same type of weapon that Peter used whenever he tried to chop Malchus's head off, and Malchus evidently had pretty decent reflexes, and Peter only got his ear. Why do you think Jesus told them, I mean, why would you carry a Possibles bag? Because you're going to need stuff that's in the Possibles bag, and you're not going to be able to rely on anybody. You're going to need to cook. You're going to need to clean. You're going to need to sew. You're going to need to just take care of anything that might possibly come up. What about money? A script? Don't you need a script? Hold on a second. A purse. What about money? What about your purse with money? Well, you're not going to be able to rely on other people. You're going to have to rely on yourself. So then why would you have to have a sword? Because you're not going to be able to rely on other people to defend you. You're going to have to defend yourself. Now, in the context, why are you going to have to defend yourself? Well, he tells us, for verse 37, "For I say unto you that this is written, that it must be accomplished in me." Must yet, hasn't come to pass, must yet be accomplished in me. "And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." So I believe that they were a little confused at this. Because they said, "Well, Lord, behold, here are two swords." And Jesus said unto them, "It is enough." Now, I hate that my beloved King James Version said, "It is enough," because that causes people to read this and think, well, 2 out of 12 is enough. No, it's not. That's not what Jesus meant. The word is translated elsewhere, meet, M-E-E-T. And whenever Jesus says it is meet, in other words, it is adequate to the task for which I have set you to have that sword is adequate for the task. Well, what task? The task that you're going to have to potentially have to perform because you're numbered with the transgressors. Think of, is Jesus, what's the word I'm looking for? Schizophrenic. Is Jesus schizophrenic? Is he split personality'd? I mean, he just said, it's so important. It is so important that you have a sword. That if you don't have one, you need to sell some of your clothes and buy a sword. Every one of you. And then they have two and said, "Is this, we got two right here." And do you think you don't really need, two is enough. So 10 of you don't have to sell your garments and buy a sword. Do you really think that's what Jesus meant when he said it is enough? God forbid. Jesus is not that stupid. Jesus is not double-minded. And incidentally, if two swords are enough, then two purses and two possible bags would be enough. There's just one problem. They didn't all go out together, did they? So if all they had was two purses, two possible bags, and two swords, then 10 of them would be without. And they would be reliant on other people. So whenever, because they are numbered with the transgressors, whenever somebody come to try to waylay them or kill them or something like that, they would just be at the mercy of wicked people. They wouldn't be able to defend themselves. Folks, this is, now, well, does this apply to us today? You tell me. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So let's take Peter, for instance. Peter baptized somebody into Christ. And he says, now listen, you're supposed to go out on this great commission. You're supposed to teach all nations. And I'm telling you this, well, that's what my Jesus commanded me. And I'm supposed to command you. And that person who's just baptized into Christ says, well, what are some of the other things he's commanded you? Well, I tell you, he said, do you have a purse? Yes, I do. Do you have a Possibles bag? Yes. Do you have a sword? No. Then you need to go sell your garment and buy a sword because you're going to be numbered with the transgressors. See how that works? That which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. If Paul received from Jesus everything the apostles did so that Paul could actually be counted as an apostle, don't you think that that Jesus saying go buy a sword if you don't have one would be included in that? Now, I readily admit that this passage of scripture doesn't give you the inherent right to have the most technologically, well, it could be argued that this scripture doesn't give you the inherent right to have the most technologically advanced weaponry of the age. I say that the implication is this scripture gives you a right to have That scripture implicitly gives you the inherent right from God to have weaponry that is commensurate in technological advancement as the military of the nation that you're in. Because the same word for sword is used in Romans 13. The government wields the sword, but he wields it as a revenger. We do not wield the sword as a revenger. We wield the sword as a defender. That's the only authorization we have. In other words, we don't start stuff, but we're allowed to finish it. And if the military has handguns and hand grenades and rocket launchers, then we're allowed to have it. In fact, it's funny, in the United States, we have this Second Amendment that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And before somebody watches this after the fact, how is the Second Amendment worded? I'm going to read it. The Second Amendment of the United States, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. I'm not going to break that down grammatically for you, but the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A well-regulated militia shall not be infringed. Doing things that are necessary for the security of a free state shall not be infringed. Does that mean the Constitution of the United States allows me to have a nuclear weapon? Yes, it does. Now, we can have a political conversation about policy, and maybe we need to amend the Second Amendment and say, I don't want my crazy redneck neighbor down the road to have a nuke and a tank. Okay, I get you. We can talk about that. But anyway, that's just an aside. I don't want to get bogged down in that. But here's the point. That's it. We all need adequate protection. Do I think I need a nuclear warhead? I don't think I need one. But the Second Amendment gives me the right to have one. The Second Amendment assures my right to have one. I think God gives me the right to have one. But now, I think discretion and prudence says that nuclear warheads should be pretty rare. Anyway, that's all I've got on that. So the idea then, and I fully understand that it's arguable that this text does not give you the innate right for firearms. So let's say, for instance, in Canada, Canadians, not only can they not have firearms, but Justin Trudeau, and I've got to do some research on this and what the law is. Justin Trudeau says that Canadians don't even have the right to self-defense in their own home of any means. So if somebody breaks into my house right now and tries to harm me and my family, I cannot hit them with a baseball bat. I can't even hit them with my fist. Well, listen, Bubba. I follow the laws of God before I follow the laws of the land. I'm going to defend my family with extreme prejudice. And I doubt I'll lose a minute of sleep over it if I kill somebody in the process. And before you start saying, Tony, you're talking out your rear and you don't know of what you speak because you had no experience in this, then you might want to read Matthew chapter 7 and not be so judgmental. And you might not want to sample a pot where you don't know what's cooking. I know what I will and what I won't lose sleep over. And I know the situations that I've been in the past. Remember, y'all don't know the stuff I hold back. Conscientiously, this passage of scripture, I could not use this passage of scripture to strap on a sidearm and walk around in public in Canada because it's against the laws of the land. I feel adequately armed the way I am armed, and I do go armed, but I do not carry a firearm. Trudeau absolutely has armed security. Ben Grady says, yeah, a guy at Cabela's here told me the guy that breaks into your home here has more rights than you, basically. Which is just pure insanity. That's it. And yeah, Trudeau, absolutely. Oh man, Tucker Carlson he went at this one politician like a rabid spider monkey. I'm talking about up one side of him, down the other, just ate him up. He says, I just think everybody ought to have the same level of protection that you have. And the politicians are like, well, that's just a false argument or false whatever. It's just a dumb argument. He's like, what? How is it false? You have armed security all the time because you can afford it. But these people in middle America, these people in the poor parts of cities and stuff like that are living in crime-ridden areas where they can't do anything else, they don't have access to private security, so they have to take it upon themselves. Folks, Christians in downtown Chicago don't have enough money to hire private armed security. So what does the Bible tell them they can do? Sell your coat and buy a sword. Because you're not going to be able to rely on other people. Facebook user from We Talk Truth Group says, when I witnessed all the rioting and destruction and no one was held accountable, and in fact was praised for doing so by some, I felt that we will no longer be protected by the government unless you follow their ideology. You have ascertained correctly. Yeah. And well, look at Hunter Biden. What if you had a laptop with child pornography, drug videos of you having sex with hookers, videos of you smoking crack with hookers? What if you lied on a federal form to purchase a firearm and then had your girlfriend throw your firearm in the dumpster close to a school? How would you be treated? Well, how do you think Donald Trump's son would be treated? Yeah, we live in a three-tier justice system. There's the left, the right, and the elite. And if you're a conservative with Judeo-Christian values, you better watch out, buddy, because you are numbered with the transgressors. My suggestion: jail. That's it. Jail. Do y'all put it in the comment section if you ever watched the television show Parks and Recreation? I love it. It's so fun. But a lot of people say, Tony, you're just like Ron Swanson. Ron Swanson must be your spirit animal. But there's an episode where Argentina, a city council from Argentina, a city in Argentina, comes up to Pawnee. And they're like, I don't understand. Why do you let these people at this city hall, at this open forum, talk to you like that? And Leslie Knope was like, well, because this is democracy. And he says, oh, no, if someone talks to us rude, it's jail. If someone jaywalks, it's jail. If someone complains about the government, it's jail. And like everything he said was just jail, 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 jail. That makes me think about the way the Democrats think about anybody that has Judeo-Christian values. You spit in the wind, it's jail. Anything. Practice your religion, it's jail. I know it's not quite that bad yet, but if we don't stop it, it's going to get there. Yeah, what if you had... Now, Ben Grady, let me put this up here. Ben, I'm going to make an example out of you. Well, this is just... I can't believe that you would say something this crazy. What if you had crack in the White House? Are you suggesting that it might have been someone on the left side of the political aisle, maybe someone who is the smartest man that Joe Biden, our president, has ever known, that would be responsible for that cocaine that was in the White House? Are you suggesting that? Look, don't you know that that was in a place that, I mean, there's people that come in and out of the White House all day long. That was left there by some visitor. I cannot believe that you would say that, Ben. That made me kind of sick. I'm I don't think I can do that anymore. Of course, you know that was sarcastic. Yeah, what if you had crack in the White House and found in the quarters you stayed in, if you were permitted to stay there? Well, yeah. I mean, jail. Straight to jail. Rules for thee and not for me. Absolutely. So, anyway, back to the Christian and self-defense. Can we see how the scripture authorizes self-defense? Ben just comes right out and says it. Ben's a hunter. That's it. That's it. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got to Ben. You threw me off track. All right. So can you see then how the scriptures authorize self-defense, even if they don't guarantee an actual firearm? Now, I believe that this gives me a right to a firearm. But I also believe that the government can govern the weaponry that I have. In the United States, it happens to be shall not be infringed. In Canada, I'm kind of stuck. I gotta find different ways to defend myself. Okay. Now, I want to share something to you. I want to share something with you that I find interesting. Let's go to Psalm 37. Now, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, "The meek shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Where did he get that from? Well, he's God, so we don't have to get it from anywhere. He can originate it. But if you and I say, "The meek shall inherit the earth," then we got to get it from somewhere. Most of us get it from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. But Jesus was quoting Psalm 37, or not, excuse me, I misspoke. He was not quoting Psalm 37, obviously, but it was a reference. It was a hyperlink, if you will. So let's go to Psalm 37. Let's start in verse 11. I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to make a point about what it means to be meek. Now, we've all heard what's the definition of meek? The meek is strength under control. That's a good enough definition. Have no problem with that definition. But let's see if we can hone that definition a little bit. "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as of an upright conversation." An upright life. "Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked," so on and so forth. So, antithetic parallelism. Parallelism is a construct of Hebrew poetry. It's a tool, okay? And, like, for instance, if I say, all of the planes are flying through the sky, the F-16s are flying high. That would be parallelism, and you would know what kind of planes they were in the first line because of the second line of the poem. Did I just make a poem on the spot? That's pretty cool. Anyway, Facebook user in We Talk Truth Group says, I think the music video is what set off complaints about the song because it showed all the news clip that actually happened of the rioting and destruction, and no one was held accountable. They do not want to be reminded of this. You may have talked about this already. No, I haven't. And I mean, I didn't even think to talk about that, but yeah. And here's, and dear Facebook user, this is not directed at you. This is directed at the people that are complaining. You know what? Go kick rocks. Your boos mean nothing. I seen what makes you cheer. If you don't want footage being shown that makes an entire organization called Black Lives Matter, which is a terrorist organization that was started by transgenders and lesbian black people that are avowed Marxist, that promises to destroy and erode the family and Western values, then hold people accountable and shut it down. And I couldn't imagine if I were the president of the United States when this happened. You've got the option to let these people riot or mobilize the military. You're either going to be considered, that part of your presidency is either going to be considered a failure, or you will forever be known as the fascistic dictator that mobilized the military against U.S. citizens. So what do you do? That's right, Ben Grady from Black Lives Matter. Not a dollar going back to the black communities that are in need. Instead, funnel to the handlers, the left. You got that right. Ooh, that's sickening. And some of my own brethren are just, oh, Black Lives Matter this, Black Lives Matter. No. No, no, no. We don't support that Marxist evil organization. God has already spoken. All lives matter. And black people, and again, if you don't agree with this and this makes you mad, go kick rocks. Black people are not oppressed in this nation. Think about the Supreme Court just struck down this foolish affirmative action rule. Now colleges have to accept people into their programs based on merit alone. And all of the right-wing people are saying, this is great. Now it's an even playing field. But all of the left-wing people say, well, now that we've taken away affirmative action, black people are never going to be able to go to college again because they're not smart enough to compete with other people, with white people, with Asian people. Huh, buddy, your racism is showing. Your racism is showing. That's racist. There is, or there was, systemic racism in the United States, and it's systemic racism against white people and Asians. They had to score hundreds of points higher on their SATs to get into a good college, where black people were allowed to get in with scores hundreds of points lower. That is systemic racism. I was canceled, by the way, a few years ago whenever I started talking about all this, and I really haven't shut up about it much since, and there are people that just don't like me because of it. And again, go kick rocks. Your boos mean nothing. I've seen what makes you cheer. Now, let me talk about this antithetic parallelism. Ooh, wait a second. This comment, the music video. If facts are not racist, it is a fact that the large majority of the people that were burning and looting our American cities were very dark of skin. I can't help that. I cannot help it. That's not racist because it's true. And again, Facebook user, that's not directed at you. This rant, promise, is not directed at you. Debbie Scroggins says, I can't stand to see all the humans acting like mindless animals in that video, but we need to stand for the values that Christ taught. Love one another. Yes. And Debbie, if you'll remember back in 2016, back whenever Black Lives Matter was building steam, there was the powers that be was thinking that there was a good chance that a Black Lives Matter protest would have come to the city that we were in at the time. Do you remember that? I actually preached a sermon about how Christians should respond to it. My response was, let's mobilize. It's going to be hot if they riot. Excuse me, I'm in that mode. It's going to be hot if they come and they protest and they do a march. So why don't we as the church go out and buy a whole bunch of bottled water and put it on ice and stuff like that? And let's go out and say, listen, I don't agree with your premise, but here's some water. We want to show love to you. That I still think that. I haven't changed, you know. The truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. I speak on a lot of topics that people don't want to think about. If they accept it as truth, they'd have to speak up. But most want to keep their head in the sand and not have their peace tampered with. Ben, that's your big deal right there. I mean, that's your big deal. That's your big, Ben, I've lost the ability to English. Yeah, that's the biggest reason people don't want to speak up. You've hit the crux of the matter on that, is because they don't want their peace tampered with. Most folks don't want to know the truth because do you remember the movie The Matrix? Do you remember when the guy played turncoat with the people that were out of the Matrix? And he said, I'm gonna betray all of my friends, and what I want is payment. I want to be plugged back into the Matrix with no memory of ever being out of it, because ignorance is bliss. Ben says, I've never had the ability to English. Evidently, I lose it quite regularly. All right. So let's talk about this antithetic parallelism. What does it mean to be meek? Well, here you go. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The antithesis of the meek is the wicked. The wicked plotteth against the just, gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The wicked have drawn out the sword and the bow, and cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation or upright lives. So the wicked try to harm people who are weak and who live upright lives, who are just and right. But they have a sword and a bow, and they are apt, proficient in using them. The antithesis of that is the meek. This communicates to me that the meek then have a sword and a bow and have the ability to use them. They just keep their sword sheathed and their bows unstrung until it's absolutely necessary, until it is in defense of the just, the weak, those that are living upright lives. Now that's antithetic parallelism. That's what the Hebrew poetry teaches me. But if you do a word study, now what I mean by a word study is more than a cursory glance at the lexicons on your trusty rusty e-sword. You got to really do a deep dive on what this Hebrew word means, and what you come up with is the image of a man who is very deadly and dangerous and who has a sword, but keeps his sword sheathed, and he only draws his sword in dire straits in defense of those who need protection. Why will the meek inherit the earth? Because they will not stand idly by and give it up to the injustices of the wicked. Folks, never let someone tell you that a Christian doesn't have a right to defend themselves with deadly force. Never let somebody frame you. Well, excuse me, you don't have any control over how somebody frames you. When someone frames you as a wicked and a violent man because you're standing up for your space and what is right, and you are standing up for the truth, and they call you a racist, sexist, bigoted, homophobe, violent, mean person, let them frame you like that all you want. But if they encroach upon the boundary that God has set, you unsheathe your sword, you string your bow, and you don't let them take this world from you. Don't let them take reality, the cosmos, from you. Christians have a right to defend themselves and others. Now, there may be a whole lot of, well, what about this verse? What about that verse? Every verse that seems to teach this foolish idea of pacifism has to be interpreted through the lens of what we talked about today, of Luke 22, Luke 11, and Psalm 37. So you cannot read something like, well, turn, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn into them your left also. That is not a prohibition against self-defense. That's a prohibition against retaliation, but not self-defense. And there are others that we can look at, but we don't have enough time. But see, we don't have to, because we have seen very simply what God has authorized Christians to do. So any other verse that might seem like it's commanding Christians to be a pacifist has to be interpreted in light of Luke 11, Luke 22, and Psalm 37. What's that statement? I'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. That's it, Ben. That's it. I'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. Folks, I hope I've said something today that's been profitable to you, and I pray I've been pleasing to God. I hope I've empowered you and enlightened. Well, it might be arrogant for me to hope that I've enlightened you. I hope that I've informed you. We'll put it that way. I would ask, especially if you've been with me for an hour here, subscribe to the Christianity Now streams. YouTube channel. Subscribe to my podcast on Cogitations. Help us financially if you're able to. Aaron Dotson and myself, we're doing this, and it's slow going, but it is growing. We've got almost 6,000 followers on our Christianity Now Facebook page. That's pretty big. We shared one video not too long ago that's got over 400,000 views. Aaron Dotson's in the comment section, incidentally. When this is studied carefully, I think those who think they're pacifists come to learn that it's their conscience that bothers them when they are thinking about self-defense. Aaron, I think you're right. And I would go back to something I said earlier. If you hold tightly to the fact that the Bible commands pacifism, then you have to adopt pacifism in every aspect of your life. That means if you have to dial 911 to call the cops in order to neutralize the threat, well, then you can't call 911 in order to call the cops. That you have to go read about a group of people. It's in a fantasy book. The Tuatha A'an, I believe is how you pronounce it. They're called the Tinkers, the people who follow the way of the leaf. And they practice pacifism, and it's weird. It's Robert Jordan did such a good job in his world building. The series is called The Wheel of Time. Please don't watch it on Amazon. It's absolutely terrible. Read The Wheel of Time if you want a really good series. It's 14 books long, but there's this group of people called the Tinkers, and they are pacifist. And Google, what are the Tinkers in the Wheel of Time, and read about them. They follow pacifism to the point where if you come up into their camp, You can just walk up into their camp and go into one of their wagons and take whatever you want, and they won't stop you. You can cut the throat of one of their women, and I guess you can rape her and cut her throat right there. The worst they'll do is they'll sick the dogs on you. Actually, they won't sick the dogs on you. The dogs are just kind of like livestock guardian dogs. But the point is, and what they say, the reason they say this is because think about the axe that chops down the tree. The axe does damage to the tree, but the tree also does damage to the axe. Yeah, but the axe can be resharpened. Folks, pacifism is not good. Pacifism is not virtuous. Pacifism is actually a vice. Pacifism is one virtue extolled to the exclusion of all others. That's a vice. All right, I'm done. Folks, God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. Financial support, all that good stuff. You know how to find us. Look at the show notes, whatever. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And that's it. God bless you. We'll catch you on the flip side.